Interesting. Interesting twists and turns. So let's see how the Rishonim could give a psak. So basically what we had on the top of the daf was a machlekes, what is Dagon? And not even a Dagon. Is Dagon, the Rav Meir held it was everything that gets gathered into a pile. Meaning the midgun, remember that? The midgun, anything that, Dagon comes from the word midgun, thank you. Anything that gets put into a pile, that's what it is. Chachamim said, no, Dagon is what we always know is it's five grains. Was the first machlokes that we have to deal with. The second machlokes we had was, what is tvua? So Rav Meir said, even though I hold that Meir, Rav Meir held for Dagon is a heap. Okay, the way to remember this is Rav Meir says you need like the to be the mayor, you need a heap of votes. So Rav Meir holds a heap. You have to have a heap. That's what Dagon is. Okay, so the Chachamim say, no, Dagon is just the regular five grains, like we're always accustomed to thinking. Then we went to the Mishnah continued where Rav Meir said that even though I argue in terms of Dagon, but in terms of Tvua is different. Tvua, I agree, is the five grains. Okay, then we jumped into the Gemara and Rabbi Yochanan. We had the Chiddush that everyone agrees to this idea that Tvua is only the five grains, and Tvua is not anything that you can make a pile about. Because we saw Rabbi Yochanan said everyone agrees, even Rabbi Meir agrees. Spoke that out. And we brought a Braisa to back it up. That Braisa says that even Rabbi Meir would agree that Tavua, when you make a neder, I will not have Tavua. What you mean to say is five grains. Says the Gemara, Pshita. And this was a major, major line where the Poskim bring up this line in the Gemara in Psak. It's fascinating. Each thing takes a part in how to paskin. The Gemara asked, isn't it pshita that Rav Meir should agree that Tavua is five grades? What's the chiddush? You need to tell me a chiddush. Gemara thought said, well, I could have thought that Tavua is kol mili, is everything. Because if you look at Unkelus, and we had a few days ago, I gave out the Unkelus where Yosef collected Tavua. And the Tevuah in Unkelus's words is Alalta. So Alalta is described in Tevuah. And the word Alalta, really, how does that mean that? The answer is really it's a word describing everything. Alalta means things that go up and grow and become profitable. That's what Alalta really means in Aramaic. And Unkelus used the word everything to explain Tevuah. And we'll see more about that. Why did he use that? Maybe because it describes everything. We'll see the carbon sinai coming up in a few minutes. But that's what he said. So therefore, the Havmina was that maybe if the Mishnah says Tavua, the Brisa says Tavua is it says you're making another from Tavua. Maybe you mean to say that you're also on everything that grows and becomes profitable. Maybe that's your nether. Your nether is not limited to tvua. Maybe it's all wheat and all types of crops and even beans, all things that grow. And we'll even have to see about much more coming up in another minute. That was the Shaila. And on that, Hava Mina, to say that when you make a nether from tvua, you're also on everything that grows and it gives you profit. Oile, that brings you hachnasa, brings you profit. Kamash Malan, the Braisa of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, but he says it the halacha himself, and he marshals a Braisa to say that no, even it's only forget the Unkelus. Unkelus is just giving you a description of what it is. It's something that brings an income and it does grow, but don't make it unlimited to all things that grow and bring in profit. It's only through a five grades. On that, Rabbi Yosef came with a little bit. Rabbi Yosef said, is that true? Okay, so we said Tavua means 5 grains. Tuvos HaSod might mean more things. Okay, then we had the story, and this was the fascinating story of Mar Bar Shmuel. Okay, this is really we're on Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph. Nun Hey Amid Aleph, and we just have to give the psak. Max, you hear so far what we got? Okay, now, around 6 lines before the lines got wide, we had a story about Mar Bar Shmuel, that Mar Bar Shmuel was about to be Nifter, and he gave his last will and testament to his children that they should give 13,000 of worth, zuzim, gold zuzi worth, of alalta. Of alalta, this very word, this indefinite, the definition is in question. You should give that alalta to Rava in the place called the Harpanya. So Rava said, okay, I'm ready to collect my money. What am I zarcha to? So Rava asked the question to Reb Yosef. Reb Yosef was the Rebbe of Abaye and Rava. He was blind, and he was known as Sinai. He knew all sorts of Mishnais and Brises. But he was the Rebbe. Very interesting to realize that and to remember. So Reb Yosef said, I'll tell you what Alalta is. It's the Brisa that we just said. The Brisa we marshaled was that it means only 5 grains. So therefore, you're only usher in the 5 grains. So, yeah, sorry. So, it's the only zoicha, right? You only zoicha. You only get your Yerusha, this last will, only entitles you to 13,000 zuzim of 5 grains, but you can't use all things that grow and bring in profit. So, okay, and that came Abaya, and Abaya came and argued and said to his Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, why? Tvua, maybe Tvua is 5 grains. But here the that, and you could we can argue, and we did argue about what Tvua means, and do we refer back to the Onkelos. But here, he's actually, the words of Mar Bar Shmuel before he died was, I'm giving Alalta. And Alalta is much more inclusive. It should include everything that grows and brings in income. Okay, that was his pushback against his Rebbe. But that was the story. They sent back the reply of what Rabbi Yosef, the Rebbe, had said. And Rabbi Yosef said back, and they told him, and then Rava said, I hear your answer, but that wasn't my question. Even though I asked the question vaguely, I didn't mean to say what is Alalta. I know what Alalta is. Here, these fascinating words are, Alalta means, like my colleague Rava said, it means everything. My colleague Abaya, Rabbi said, I know, I and Abaya hold similarly that Alalta is everything. Alalta does mean everything. Just because Onkelos says Alalta and Tvua shouldn't be limited to 5 grains. And therefore, he said, I argue, my Rebbe, I never even meant to ask the Kasha, why did my Rebbe even paskin Tvua? I am not even asking the question on that. What I did have a question is, how far do you include Alalta to be everything that grows and brings in income? Do you even bring it to include that if you have apartments and boats that you rent out, is that also called Alalta? Because on the one hand, they do bring in income, so that is called growing and bringing in profit. On the other hand, the boats do get worn down over time, so Alalta means they're growing and increasing. So maybe right, a house. Anything, it really, they deteriorate over time, and they get a little bit worn down and become old and not so valuable. They can devalue and depreciate over time.
Even though the perils are growing, the garrisons depreciate.
Right. So you got to weigh it out. Is that called depreciating because it is depreciating over time,
or the value of land is always going up anyways? Yeah. Even though the dirt, the quality of the soil is depreciating, the land is probably going up.
They don't. I don't think they factor that in. I think that what they're going to do is going to put that next.
Would that weigh it out?
It's a gradual depreciation.
Yeah. So
it's unnoticeable.
Yeah, so it's interesting to think that through here from the real estate standpoint. But the Gemara's two sides are, do you say that it's becoming worn down and a house from 1970 is now not really so pristine and beautiful, so it's becoming devalued every day and depreciated? Or do you say, no, The other side of the coin is you can't really see the depreciation. It's gradual at a snail's pace, slower than a snail. So you can't even see it. So maybe that we don't even think about that. That's not, we're not mischashe. We don't consider that. And therefore, the real side would be that it's bringing in income. So that's called a value. That was, says Rav Yosef, says Rava, this was my real Shiloh. I knew that really it includes everything, even though my Rebbe paskins differently. But me and Abaya, by and I, we hold that it should be everything. That was not our Shiloh. The Shiloh was only this income on the boats and that. And that's really what I wanted to know. So they told the Shliach, this middleman, who was a little bit of a yo-yo, not that he was a yo-yo, but he's back and forth. He goes back to Rabbi Yosef. And he tells Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe, they didn't have a Shiloh of what I asked. And they actually argued, they held it, that Alalta means everything, not like the Rebbe Paskin.
I wonder why they're in a different location since he is their Rebbe.
Okay, but it could be. You have different times.
For some reason, they separated.
Yeah, especially in Golos, things happen and people move from city to city to yeshiva to yeshiva. They ended up different places. It's not like you hop on a plane and you could just choose where you want to live. And it's not so easy.
That's how they have to. Messenger.
Yeah, they write all the Gemaras that say that when he came from Bavel, he said the following. He said this message. That was the news. They didn't have, they have radio or forget radio. I don't know if anyone listens to the radio anymore. Yeah, so they have pigeons. So on that, Rabbi Yosef was, he said, this is not really the right way that a Talmud should be reacting to a Rebbe. First of all, the main taina was the Talmud should send in the Shiloh the way he wants, the way he wants to know, what he wants to know.
Precisely his question.
He should be specific. He wasn't specific. He was very vague. He left it open. And we interpreted it to be simply put, but really that wasn't a Shiloh. So there's a taina on a Talmud that the Talmud should be asking his Shiloh clearly and not being vague and open to misinterpreting what the question was. And therefore, there was a lack of humbleness and was really gas lave. He was a little bit gaivadik, says Rashi. He was haughty. And therefore, when Rabbi Yosef, he was makpid. The Rabbi Yosef was makpid. And the Shliach therefore came back and told Rava that your Rebbe was not so happy that you asked the question like that. And you're wasting everyone's time.
From that gaiva aspect, that's where I started to hear more of the idea. Like, if you're not going to follow my opinion anyway, so why would you ask?
No, he didn't say that. He did say.
That's part of the.
Well, that was,
like that would be more of a gaiva thing.
No.
If you're really seeking my opinion, if you're going to just hold what you were holding anyway, did you ask for my opinion?
No, but that's not his kind of.
Why did we take that? I'm just not clear. He was asking his Rebbe to. I could see a Rebbe saying, well, if you're not going to respect my opinion, why are you even asking?
But that's the part I don't understand. Why would we think that he would respect his Rebbe?
Because he said he's going to take a lot to mean everything when the Rebbe said it's only the 5 minutes.
So why wouldn't he then honor his exact? Why would he say he's not going to honor his Rebbe's opinion?
Well, it sounded like he wasn't because he said that
he
that
about the boats.
Yeah, they said I know
he kind of dismissed the Rebbe's opinion on that's the
right. Like if his Rebbe only holds it's the 5 grains, then the boats is not even a Shiloh. Like why are you now asking about the boats?
But maybe he didn't want like permission.
You hear what I'm asking? It's like you shouldn't be asking.
You're saying Shiloh, he should have accepted.
If you're going to ask a Shiloh to your Rebbe, right? Aren't you supposed to honor it? Just to like,
well, that's why everybody said that wasn't my Shiloh.
The Rebbe says,
yeah, I really didn't want to know the answer to that.
Like, right. you ask a Shiloh to your Rebbe and then you don't honor what he says.
So he's really saying, I never had that as a Shiloh. Now, here's the question to you. This is a Shiloh. What do you do when you don't have a Shiloh and you're clear, you're crystal clear on the halacha, what you understand the halacha to be? You learn up a sugya one way,
well,
you're crystal
clear. Yeah, then you're wasting every time. I get that.
You're crystal clear, and you ask your Rebbe, and you don't ask Rebbe, but you hear what your Rebbe says.
Right.
Now you're stuck.
What about if you just went an Eitzah? You just say, you know, what would happen if Reuven did X, Y, Z, and you know that Reuven is you, and you're just asking,
is he?
You're not asking for a psak. You're just asking, say, you know, Reuven did this and this. Is you know,
and you want to know if you're bound to the Eitzah?
Yeah.
Well, here we have the Reb Yosef would say, you know, if you're asking my opinion, you know, don't waste my time, then you should follow it. You have to be ready to follow it if you want to. Like, really, you should. According to Reb Yosef, you should be following the Eitzah. You know, it reminds me of this book called Living in Their Homes by
Nachman Seltzer.
Nachman Seltzer. There was someone who wrote a bacher from New York, but he went to Eretz Yisrael. He was learning in the mirror. And
Binyamin Greengrass.
Binyamin Greengrass. He once came to the Kollel many years ago for what, Shabbos, and he basically got in with Gedolim just by just getting in and going there. And he was close to Reb Chaim Kenny. The way he did it is he helped them out, and he said, "What can I do?" He asked Reb Chaim, "What can I do to help you? Not what I need." He says, "I saw what could he need, and I saw that Reb Chaim had written a sefer on all the places where Tanakh gives a description between two people, but it's not so clear who's talking to who." And Reb Chaim wrote who's talking to who. He filled in the blank when it could be ambiguous. But it was very little, small pamphlet. So he went and did thorough research on every place. He brought Raya's to Reb Chaim and Kashas, and he brought it to Reb Chaim. He says, "I want to reprint the pamphlet as a beautiful sefer. Are these Ha'aras good?" And Reb Chaim looked at all the Ha'aras he went through. Reb Chaim somehow was able to go through different Sfarim. But this for sure, he wanted to improve his own sefer. So he gave Ha'aras back on Rabbi Greengrass's Ha'aras, and they developed it into a big, nice sefer. And he got a shaychus every week till he became like a karusa once a week or whatever. And then people started asking him, "Could you help us get this question into Reb Chaim? And could you bring us into Reb Chaim?" So he would always tell people, "I'll bring you to Reb Chaim, but you have to listen whatever he says. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared to listen to exactly what he's going to say?" Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared, then you can't go, because you can't. First of all, if a gadol gives you a psak, you got to follow the psak because it's binding. You know, I wouldn't want to be the one who, you know, Reb Chaim tells a certain thing to do and just don't do it. You don't want to be in that position.
But you can go to another gadol and saying that you asked Reb Chaim and his psak was such. And what do you think?
But they say, but all the gadolim would say, if you ask Reb Chaim, then forget it. Okay. It happens. It's a real thing.
It ends there.
So it ends there. There is stories like that. But he would say that. And there were stories where there was people. There was actually one lady who came for a certain, I forget what the story was, but it was a real heavy duty psak, you know.
Some conversion?
Big questions. They are so, you know, well, if you, it could be with marriage and yeah, not marriage. What was it about?
He told me he has to get married. That was like the condition. You have to be prepared to listen to whatever he says.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. There's different shilas, but they're very earth shattering. Where are you ready to, you know, you're leaning towards one side, but are you prepared to hear the other side that he might tell you?
About a beard too.
Yes. Yeah.
No, he would tell, Chaim would tell people, if I'll give you an answer, but you need a schus. You have to do something on your own to be zoiche, to get a good answer. What are you willing to take on? Are you willing to take on to grow a beard? If Chaim held hadras panim, zokin, to grow a beard. Or he would tell someone, don't wear a watch, because a watch is Beged Isha. Or wear long sleeves. He would tell Serge Moyal, he goes like this. When Serge came in with short sleeves, he goes like this. So Serge figured, well, he didn't get a bracha, he'll go around again. So if Chaim saw him again, he goes like this. So you got to do something to be zoiche to get a bracha. It's not, Reb Chaim says, it's not magic. You need a schos. See, he would tell some people, you have to live in Eretz Yisrael. Or are you ready to get married? Reb Chaim held Ben Shmoneh Esrei, 18 years old, you get married. And, you know, that's why you got to be prepared. Rabbi Erlinger said he wasn't prepared to grow a beard or get married at that point. But if you're going in, you got to listen to whatever he says. And there was that lady. She said, "No, I'm not prepared to do it. Then I'm take it back. You don't have to go in with my Shiloh, Michael, because she was scared of the answer that she might hear. You might hear, you know, let's say someone's not, there's heavy duty questions that are coming in, but it's not just a wish ball and you just wish. So anyway, bringing it back to.
We're trying to nail down where the guy. That's
yes.
What
I'm just
I would like
anyway. To. My point was, Yosef is saying, if you're asking me, you got to follow and
why would we
and ask your question correctly? His ikratina was that you didn't ask what you wanted. You made it so vague that the question was thought.
Well, maybe that was part of the test one. If I'm very specific, then I can't get out of it. I just don't understand.
No. The taina was he was haughty. The taina was you're being haughty by asking it like that, and you explain what you want. Don't waste anyone's time. And that was the taina.
Don't we assume the fact that he asked? I don't understand the comment of that the rabbi wouldn't hold by what Rav Yosef passed him. Why wouldn't he?
See, I think he agreed.
Because he learned the sugya, he held differently.
But Rav Yosef is studying the Braisa where Abaya is mentioned. So I don't understand why we're assuming he's going to paskin the opposite of what Rava would hold. Well, I missed something here. I don't understand.
You're saying from up above?
Yeah, like Dov, I understand why you're saying he's not going to hold by Rav
Yosef. I think in the context we see
that he's changing the question.
Rav Yosef held that Alalta is just. That it's referring to just the five.
When he said the price out, said Abaye.
When he says to him, when he gets back and he says, oh, well, to means the five grains, and he says, oh, no, I'm thinking about the boats and things like that, wouldn't he have his answer right then and there, like you said? Obviously, to be a lot is just the five grains.
Then, okay, right, then the boats are
and,
right in the question.
End of discussion. Like, why are you even going on? He said, oh, I don't know about that understanding of Alalta.
But Rav Yosef cited the entire Braisa. So it's not clear he's telling him it's only the five grains. He says, Abaye says Alalta means all things. So are we saying that he's just giving him the Braisa where this is what I hold and this is what Abaye holds? I thought it came
down
to...
He's quoting Abaye as what Abaye is in the Braisa. Abaye, they're quoting Abaye as Abaye making a comment.
He's an extraneous player.
Oh, yeah. So where does the...
Yeah, Abaye was a bystander.
He's a bystander.
Oh, so Rav Yosef is saying
he's not quoting what Abaye said. Abaye is making a comment about Rav Yosef.
So Rav Yosef is citing a brisa, or am I reading that wrong? Rav Yosef, in his reply, it is a brisa. Who's saying it is a brisa?
So two lines work out wide. Rav Yosef paskined on the story that it's based on a brisa, that the brisa says, Hanoide menatvua. Is Eina Yasser Ela Bechamesha Saminim. The Brisa, right? Where's that Brisa? So the Brisa is Anodim Natura is also on the five grains. That's what the Brisa says. It's a Brisa. Now, we had.
That's what the Brisa is.
Yeah.
Then Abaye makes a comment.
Okay. Now, that was a Shiloh, but there could be. You could have. Abaye argued. Abaye said that was Tvua. You have a Brisa about Tvua. So you're equating Tvua with Unkelus. You say, well, if Tvua is a five grains, so Unkelus says Alalta. Alalta is also five grains. Why not? Webster's Dictionary. So whatever is a synonym has the same definition. So Abaye said, no way. Tvua is five grains. That I agree. But you can't stretch it to Alalta. Alalta means everything. Alalta, it's a definition of Tvua, but... Maybe it means, the way this described Tvua, we'll have to see fascinating ideas in the Carbon Asano that maybe it's a way of describing Tvua is it's everything. It grows, it brings in. So maybe you could stretch it to be much more.
So Rava asked for Rav Yosef's opinion, but the messengers brought back Abaye.
No. Abaye was in the background. Abaye was a bystander. So Abaye, he inserted his, he said, sometimes you have different people answering. Abaye just offered his answer, but Rav Yosef was the main answer. The question was for Rav Yosef, and the messenger took back the answer from Rav Yosef. It was Rabbi Yosef all the way. Abaye happened to throw in his own what he thought.
Oh, I see. But Rabbi was asking for Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef says it's the five grains.
Right.
And then he changes the Shiloh. Well, in my world is that. And it's everything. Would you also include the boats? Which is funny to say. Like, I don't want to
No,
hold by you.
no,
But...
that's not. But that's not. That wasn't what he claimed. What the problem of being haughty. The Gemara said the problem was you asked your question vague,
ambiguous way,
and it meant the Pashup Shout. It had a meaning. The Pashup Shout of the way you asked it was, "What's halacha? What does it include? Five grains or everything?" You asked it in a way which is not only ambiguous. It's more sounds like that was a simple question. So you wasted our time and you asked it in the wrong way. You should say it clearly and say what you mean.
But also, I guess now I think I understand what Dov is saying. Like, it does seem a bit odd that Rav Yosef is immediately eliminating Rav Yosef's opinion. He's saying, yeah, Abaya, yeah, well, of course that's what it is. Well, then you just disagreed with your Rav.
Okay, so this is a question. What happens when your Rebbe says one thing?
Right. I didn't understand.
No, but he himself, Rav and Abaya, are on the same page in this way. So what do you do? Because really, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his first tshuva ever, Rav Moshe, or even in the introduction to Egros Moshe, Rav Moshe says, the Rebbe is there to help you because you didn't learn the sugya. But really, our job is to learn the sugya of Kol HaShas. Every shayla that you ever have, do I open bottles on Shabbos? Well, we got to learn up the sugya. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, and there's something called a mustaki. And, you know, till you learn it, you're like, I don't know what a mustaki is. Is a mustaki something sticky? I don't know. So you go to your Rebbe to help you to just give you a preview of the answer till you get to learn the sugya yourself. He will help you and say, a mustaki is this, and this, you could just open it. So that's what really your Rebbe is. But if you know, you know that you don't ask the Rebbe, really.
Yeah, except like in this case, it's really puzzling that he asked because he's not even accepting.
He wasn't asking that. It
no,
wasn't
but,
a shiloh.
But if you know that Rabbi Yosef only holds by the five grains, the rentals and stuff is not even in the picture. Why do you ask?
Maybe he didn't
about
know.
That?
Maybe he didn't know
he
what
didn't
he holds.
He didn't know
what he holds on a simple level, but he didn't have a shiloh about the simple level. He only had the shiloh about the more technical level too.
Yeah, but now re-ask the question is strange because he can't give you an answer on the boat. Like, for sure, the boats are not included according to his opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, so
like,
that
why
wasn't
are you re-asking.
So no, I don't know if he re-asked it. The Gemara says the Gemara stops. Gemara stops.
Re-asking is just going to be a comment. Oh no, gosh, I wasn't mind about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he didn't go. He didn't go back to him.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
If you held like my world, now what would
you
say about the boat?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wait. What?
Answer Rabbi Yosef.
Wait, one second. I just wanted to say to Max, hold this one second. The Gemara just says off that the Rabbanan said over to Rabbi Yosef what Rava's reply was.
Uh-huh.
But it was it
he
ended.
Wasn't asking for
he wasn't asking for another question, but they said, you know what he said, and they gave the uh-huh. background
the
of what happened.
Is that okay for them to do that?
Yeah, yeah. It's
yeah.
Tyra.
Yeah.
They're not doing it to build a, you
well,
know,
well.
Argument.
Also, because he's a Talmud, he wouldn't want now to quote someone else with his Rebbe holds, you know, what happens if someone asks what does your Rebbe hold by Alalta? There could be some confusion there. Like if your Rebbe holds the five grains and now we see that you're taking from orange trees, my high, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's far worse than, yeah.
So what are you saying?
Imagine the Rabbanan had to tell Rav Yosef this incident. Like I heard that maybe it's Lashon Hara that he's causing trouble. But what happens if Rabba goes along and takes his 13,000 from apple trees and melons and this and that, and everyone knows that his Rebbe holds a lot only means a 5 minute.
Yes.
There could be some confusion as to do you not hold by your Rebbe? Does your Rebbe not hold by this?
So we have to have transparency.
Yeah.
You have to know what is he hold. You have to know what's going on here between the two sides.
Yeah.
So the Rabbanan came and just said, they said the reply back. And on that, Rabbi Yosef says, if he doesn't need my opinion, why is he asking on this? And therefore he was mocked.
That's what, so now, it, to me anyway, it's clear when he doesn't need my opinion.
That's what I was saying.
Greens, it's not that he should have asked the question more directly about rental. He knows I only hold by five grains. What's he wasting my time?
The way you expressed it was like what I was trying to get at.
No,
he's saying if he's asking a shiloh that he already has an answer to, what does he do?
That's what I was saying.
And not only that, he does the whole life.
No, but he did. But he did have a shiloh somewhere else.
Right. He asked it wrong.
So ask it right. Ask it right.
He should have asked to buy it.
No.
Because he already believes that he believes.
But that wasn't a shiloh. But
no,
he didn't want to ask.
He should have been very specific
on
his shiloh.
But even if he
that wasn't a shiloh.
If he had been more specific, then Rav Yosef's response would have been, you're asking the wrong
fine,
person.
Fine.
I only hold by the five
no,
grains.
So Rav Yosef will tell him.
By the
Rav Yosef will tell him, I only hold the
yeah,
five
but,
grains.
By the way,
he would have told him, forget the boats and this. I wouldn't even allow you to take apples and oranges.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then it'll get clarity. They'll get clarity. And then they'll have to decide.
Is there a more fundamental thing going on here between Lashon B'nai Adam and Metzius?
What?
When it comes to a nether.
Yeah,
well,
what
it? To, here it's not a nether though. It's
no, it's not a nether. Here's a Yerusha.
It's Yerusha.
Yerusha.
So, but do we take into account Lashon B'nai Adam versus?
We have to think. What does the person mean when he
means? Maybe Alta means like on a very, you know, if you looked it up in the dictionary, you would say five grains. But the way,
no,
that,
you,
the
you
way
have
people
to think,
have come to use it loosely, it
you have
could
to know.
Be more expansive.
You have to know what he meant when he said
so,
it's tavah. Yeah, he said
so
the tavah.
I'm just asking, does that come into play?
You have to know what he meant when he said the tavah. It's not by a literal translation.
Does Lashon B'nai Adam come into this?
Well, you have more than Lush. What did he mean, Dak? What was your question?
He said Abayu was in front of Rav Yosef, and he gave a retort.
Right,
and Rav Yosef didn't answer him. So what was it? What was that?
You want to know why Rav Yosef didn't answer
yeah,
Abaya?
I wonder how did Abaya get off the hook in this whole situation?
Yeah.
Abaya said his comment from the peanut gallery.
Least, yeah, Abaya at least asked the question.
But yeah, at least he's not misleading and asking a Shiloh, which is misleading and just for nothing.
You can be back and forth.
You can have
he
back and forth.
The Rebbe, yeah.
You can tell your Rebbe, I owe this, and the Rebbe
gets. Why didn't we get an answer back from Yosef?
Why didn't he tell Abaya, you know, you're wrong? Yeah, he argued. I think no.
So,
yeah, I'm not sure what, but it's like when Meyerfeld's giving share, and you say, I think this way. Not like, okay, you know, you can hold that way, and that's the end of that. Yeah, there wasn't a back and forth on it. They maybe they have to go deeper, and maybe they did have a different time. They didn't get into discussion in that moment. Yeah,
over here, he just
it's like when the Rebbe on Shabbos was going to share, and the Rebbe's father said something. Oh, we'll discuss it. We'll battle out at home.
Yeah, you have to know when there's a time, when this place. You have to maybe go into it more. But he said, Abaya, you're with me. We can talk about it in an hour. But the shliach is leaving back to Bavel in like 5 minutes.
Here he says, since Rav Yosef did not reply to Abaya, we can infer that he conceded and adopted Abaya's opinion.
Not necessarily. Sometimes it's beneath
your... The article says, which is interesting. And then at the end of the day, he has...
Quietness.
He agrees.
It could be
to
that
me.
He didn't even... It's not even a question to me. Why should I respond?
So we're going to see exactly right now what you're saying is going to be a Shiloh, because here's going to be Psak. We're ready for Psak Halacha. If Rabbi Yosef conceded to Abaya, then it's going to be clear psak.
That it's more expensive.
It's more expensive. If he did not concede, like you would think from just the simple words, and then he was makbid.
And if he didn't concede, what would he be makbid about? He wasn't wasting his time then.
Right, what was he makbid? Well, he's makbid
on the boat part.
On the fact that you weren't clear about
right.
what your question was.
But you have to ask your question properly, right?
Yeah.
Like you have to be clear in what you say.
Right.
What's the lesson?
I can't remember.
No, not in Hebrew, but in English, what? You should say your question clear?
I can't remember the lesson in Purdue, but something like that. There's seven things when you're learning or something.
In front of your Rebbe, he says you should ask, it says don't interrupt, and you should ask a Rishon, and
answer. Right, and answer the...
Should answer. Yeah, you have to be very clear. It could go into that. So the funny thing. So he was makbid, but he's makbid on the derech eretz. It doesn't really.
Psak, and in the whole
psak,
he goes along with it.
Psak, we'll have to see.
The
we'll
way
have
you
to see.
Conducted yourself.
We'll have to see psak right now.
According
very
to
not clear of psak. Okay, because you're saying one thing, but we're going to now learn the rush right now. Not so clear.
According to this sheet in the Kabbetzis, I guess maybe it would explain why the messengers brought back Abaya's opinion, which
no, no, don't say that.
But how? Why did
they brought back Rav Yosef's
why
opinion?
Why did Rav Yosef?
Right.
Rav Yosef's opinion must agree with them, because the response of Rava was, yeah, I know that Allah meant everything.
That's a no brainer, right? That's a no
brainer.
Yeah.
And you're telling me Allah to
so
me
therefore,
five
Rav Yosef must have agreed with Abaye, because they brought back the message.
No, no,
he said it concludes everything.
No,
no.
I don't agree that that's what happened.
Well, why did he say I knew that?
I knew, not like what you're bringing me
he's
back.
He's arguing with him. He's
you're telling me it means five grains. I didn't ask that question, and I argue on that. I don't. That wasn't my question. I argue and say that halacha means everything. That was. I never had that as a question. And
it was, so when we say it was never a question, I thought it meant, yeah, I already knew of ultimate everything.
That's what he thought, but that's not where Rav Yosef responded. Right. Rav Yosef's
they're saying it very different. They're saying they brought back word of Abaye's retort before Rava, whereupon he said, this was never my question.
They brought Abaye's retort back.
Was telling you how the arts go.
Okay, we'll have to see. Psak, it's very, that's why, you got to learn it up.
Why
would they bring back Abaye's opinion?
Because Rav Yosef ended up agreeing with him.
It's in the name of Rav Yosef.
Yeah, but
he asked Rav Yosef.
Well, Abaye was the one that
they may have said it as a sideboard. Rav Yosef said this, but as a sideboard, Abaye said this.
So when Rav says, "I already knew this," he already knew.
He already knew Abaye's opinion.
Exactly.
Right.
Which you would think, then Rav Yosef must have conceded to that, and the messenger brought that back. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Isn't Rav Yosef the Rav of both of them?
Yes,
he is. I hear. So we have to get the Shita Mekubetzes, because there seems to be a machlekes here between what exactly did he bring back. So, I'll get the Shita Mekubetzes, because this is going to influence Psak, because right after this, it's going to be a machlok. Let me get a sheet to Mekubetzes and Rabbeinu.
That seems to change it.
And Rabbeinu Peretz, you are right. Is Rabbeinu Peretz and a sheet to Mekubetzes? It's not simple.
Never is.
When's it simple?
Rav Yosef is citing the Braisa where he says it's the five grains, and Abaye interjects and says, no, it includes everything. He's silent, Rav Yosef, so they bring back the message. Well, Abaye said this in front of Rav Yosef, and Allah means everything.
Speak a kavodah, Dami.
No, they didn't. I think you're confusing the story. Didn't they come back? They came back and told Rav Yosef what
Abaye said.
What Rava said.
Well, no. You know, they came back and, no.
No, Rav Yosef made his psak. I hold it, but. But then they went back to
First
him.
First they went to Rava.
Yeah.
And then they went back to Rav Yosef. And that's when he got upset.
That's what I'm saying. They went back to Rav Yosef and told him what Rava said, not what Abaye said.
He said, yeah, I already knew it meant everything. So he must have been told that Rav Yosef agreed that it meant everything because he agreed with Abaye. Yeah, I knew it meant everything.
No, that's what Rava said.
But why did Rava say he knew he meant everything? He's sending that message back to Rav Yosef, which means Rav Yosef must have agreed with the Abaye.
No, it seems strange that the messenger would send back an answer in the name of Abaye.
And he ignored the Talmud, and he ignored the Rebbe and said what the Talmud said. That's a big chiddush. So here I have the Shita Mekubetzes, and he brings it in the name of the Re'eim. So here I'll read what it has. Abaye said what he held, okay. Umashma nami, and it also seems to be Sherb Yosef Hoidalai. If Yosef was Moide to Abaye, Kim Shaloi Heshev Loi Dover. This is the question. This is exactly the Shiloh. He didn't respond to Abaye when your Talmud says something. He didn't respond. Heshev Abaye. The Heshev Abaye Hadvarim Lerova. So Abaye therefore went, I guess, with the Shliach and Abaye said, what I hold, to Rava. And he told him the whole story. Valkain, Meshav Abaye Hadvarim. And now Abaye, went back. Meshav Abaye Hadvarim L'Rava. So what? Now those words, Meshav Abaye Hadvarim L'Rava. Valkain.
He probably told.
Oh, he went back to Rava.
What transpired?
What transpired? Akein Amar Rava. I never asked that Shaila. It's Pasha to me. Filu Peiches and everything that go down is Meta. Is Luya Mikra. That's called Alalta. Ve'ilu Hayu Ma speaking Lahe Alizi Lekeach Kiyem Mehem. I would take from these things But what I really was bothered by was the boats. Yeah, so he's saying the Shita Mikvetzes in the name of the Re'im, Rebbe Liom Mizrahi, says like you're saying, okay? And according to this, we have, okay, that will lead us in our Psak.
They're saying now Rabbi Yosef now conceded and agreed.
Rezzo agreed to Rava and Abaya to Abaya.
That it's more expensive than the five minimum.
No, well, no, it's only the five grains first. First, it's only the five grains.
That was his first thing. Well, and the then price, he was silent.
He was silent.
Rabbi
told him it's more expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Abaya told him it's more expensive. So now he's back to
right. Not so expensive to go to boats.
Well, they never even told
him. Oh, right. We never got an answer.
We never got that far. That is what the Re'im says right here. Now, they do say to look at Rabbeinu Peretz, and you could probably guess what's going to happen when you see Rabbeinu Peretz, because...
Why is his silence an agreement?
What do you think? Well, that, when someone...
That's a strong quote.
Why would he be quiet? You wouldn't be quiet.
Sometimes when a fool speaks, you don't respond. But your response is validating their opinion.
Are we talking about the...
Well, there are many cases in the Gemara where a student says something to a Rebbe and the Rebbe disregards it and doesn't answer.
It's pshita. I'm not even giving you the time of day.
Isn't it also disrespectful to Paskin in front of the Rebbe?
No, but maybe you just...
You can't disagree with your Rebbe.
You're allowed to disagree even on a psak. You could say, Rebbe, I think you're allowed, respectfully, you're allowed to disagree.
Yeah, but when someone's asking a shaila to the Rebbe, you're not supposed to throw in your two cents.
It's an unusual scenario.
Yeah.
But it does seem like Rebbe Yosef is agreeing.
Yeah, so that's how the Re'im is learning it. We just see how this...
Otherwise, why would the messenger bring back Abaye's opinion? Yeah. Rav Yosef completely disagreed with him. Like, I asked you for Rav Yosef, not for Abaye.
Well, he brought back Rav Yosef's opinion also. That's
the question. Whose opinion did he bring back?
It must
not be clear. We don't know. The Re'im says that he brought back the Rav Yosef's opinion.
His response was, I wasn't asking about that. I was talking about the votes.
Well, I don't know which way. From the response, I thought the other way. I thought his response was about, he brought back the Rav Yosef's response.
Yeah, that's what I think as well.
That Rav Yosef still held his position.
Yeah.
That's
what I held.
And that's probably what other people
It's not clear from the back and forth what it is. Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi held... Right. That he was moidek from his shtika, from his silence, he conceded.
Right.
Here. So I have here the Shama. He heard Ikpid Reb Yosef. So he says over here, he brings from, he's getting into Psak. He brings the Psak here. Okay, fine. I have to find where he's going to say. I got to look it up. It's not.
Listener.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the Gemara. Okay, it's very interesting. We're going to bear this in mind for Psak. This is not like, it makes a big difference in Psak. So that was the end of the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara ends right here. He gave him a little Musar Vart. He told him, if you hold yourself high, right, really, you can only learn Torah if you make yourself like a Midbar. And that was the end of the story. Rav Yosef sent to him. Rava came to ask Mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. And Rav Yosef told him, Mi Midbar Matana. You want to get Torah to be a Matana. You want to understand it and remember it. You have to make yourself like Hefker, be willing to nullify yourself and teach Torah to anyone who wants. Don't be picky. I'm only teaching the person who is Chasha.
That doesn't sound like Rav Yosef agreed with them then.
He's
still upset about the question that he didn't phrase the question.
He's upset at Derech Eretz. Yeah. You are haughty to phrase it like that and not care about being precise. That's all he's saying. But in terms of halacha, Reb Yosef is Moita. That's how their aim. I'm almost sure Ben Perez is going to argue, but until we get to that. But in Derech Eretz, it is Psak, I might be Moita to Reb Yosef, to Abaya and Rava, but in Derech Eretz, I'm still the Rebbe. So, yeah. So,
here he says, he said, inasmuch as Rava does not need us, Mashallah, why did he send an inquiry to us? 25. why did Rabbi inquire what is called a lalta if he already had such a specific opinion? I think that's what.
No, so
that's what.
Yeah, but that's the start. But therefore, you have to. Yeah, and
so Rav fails to put that.
And if you want to ask a question differently,
and ask it properly.
That's what made him angry.
But and then
you already have your opinion set.
No, that's not the issue. The issue was ask your question properly.
I'm just telling you the way.
They mean to say, but the next step you have to also finish off. And if you want to ask, he had a question. If you want to ask it, but be clear and get to the meat of what you want to ask.
Because the way he framed it, we know he's already got an opinion on a lot, but he should have framed it as specifically on rentals that deteriorate. Is that considered a lot?
Right.
Because he already has his opinion. He should have refined the question.
So let's get down to Psak. Let's get down to Psak. So now...
Yeah,
no, sure. But he
think
does.
That's the source of the anger.
Yeah. Well, but also, I just take it to the last level. But he does need us.
He does. Yeah.
So
it's a question.
Different.
But something different. So you got to phrase your question properly.
Right.
Then
you went in the wrong direction.
It's not covered. If you come to a Rav to Reb Chaim Gievsky and you're like, you say your question with, you have to pull teeth. Sometimes you have child, they're not happy. So you have to, they tell you an answer. You got to pull teeth. What do you mean? Do you what do you want for supper? Milchus. Okay. Well, what do you want for Milchus? You don't make the Rebbe or the father have to pull teeth. Speak it out. Speak out your question very clearly. Okay.
When a person doesn't.
It could be many midos at play. But okay, yeah.
I mean, it does feel like, Rava could have been asking his question, but he was starting with the foundation first. So, five brains. But
he didn't want to know that.
He could have thought five brains was obvious. We all agree on this.
Right.
He might have thought that
the foundation
is so simple.
Right.
That
you for sure won't like me.
And here's the connection, right? Okay. So I would almost think like maybe he's trying to lay it out that way. But obviously, the kesher between, the Rebbe and the Talmud is such that it's understood. You're going off in another direction. You're trying to make your case. You're not asking me a question.
We'll have to see more. So I want to see here the psak. So the first thing we have is the run. How do we paskin in this shaila? So first, let's talk about the boat. The value of oil. Is that income called? Is that a lalta? Halacha lemaisa. So the Ran says on Nun Hey Amud Beis, we turn the page, the Ran on the four lines on the top, the Ran says the halacha is, well, we never got a psak on the boats.
Right.
So what do you
story
do?
Story ends.
Story ended there. What do you do about the value of that? That could Rava collect from the boats? By the way, okay. So the Ran says, in terms of money, we always give the golden rule. The Ran, look at the Ran, four lines on the top. The question of Rava, if sheet that wasn't answered. Hilkach, therefore, loy gavi mischar badim schar sfinis. You can't collect the yad balash dal tachtoina. We say amoyti mechavel varaya. You need to bring a raya. If you can't bring a raya, then you cannot collect. So therefore, Rava was not able to collect the money from the boats, the rentals. Okay, that was number one. What about Nedarim? If someone makes a Nedarim on a Lalta, what does it include? Does it include the boats? The Gabi Nedarim, which is Isser, we always say Nakdin L'Chorma, we go L'Chorma, Bekulim Bechlal, everything's included because you want to be Machmer. So therefore, we'll say he cannot, if someone makes a nether on Lalta, he's forbidden on having any, let's say, Mar Bar Shmuel would make a nether against Rava. Rava would not be able to use income from the boats and the houses. That's what the Ran says. And it sounds like it's an open shut case because he's very clear. He's using the general rules, the guidelines of Psak. But here, if you could just pass these pages out here, please pass these. The Rush in the back of the Gemara. So Rush is, it's not here. Here he's just Mefarish, the Punch of Chop, but in the back, he's a Posik. So look at the Rush. The Rush here, Rabbeinu Usher. He says over here, the top line says over there, Dilma Kivilayadir Pachsayu. You're allowed to eat. That's the Gemara's words. That since you can't tell the depreciation, maybe that's not called depreciating, maybe that's called a lauta that's going up. Comma. Okay, till here's the Gemara, the Rush quotes the Gemara. Then he says, Umistaber li. And it's logical to me. Notice, by the way, the Rush is using Svara to Paskin, logic. Umistaber li, the Rabbi Yosef, Kivin de Mitamag. Minon tivua alalta. Reb Yosef used unklus. Reb Yosef used unklus, right? So, well, that's targum. That tivua is alalta. Ubalashin targum tiva. Have a ubalashin targum tiva. And now, the Marbar Shmuel, when he gave his tzavo, his last will, he did give it in Aramaic. So. Have a ki'ilu belashan ivri tziva. It's like he said it in Hebrew. Belashan HaKadosh. Ve'izke tfuah. It's like he said the word tfuah. V'lama, right? He actually uses that. We actually brought this up before. This idea that if it's a dictionary and alauta is a translation for tfuah.
I was going to ask originally, where was he living? Because, I mean, truth be told, alauta is a very... It's a strange lesson.
Well,
but the fact that he said 13,000 Aramaic seemed to lead us that he's Aramaic all the time.
Yeah, so the Rush is saying if they would live where they wouldn't talk Aramaic and he used the lesson of uncles, then it's clear he means tvua because when you use such a word, right? So then then you obviously mean such a thing. But
the 5 grains.
Then you mean the 5 grains. But it's not clear. It seems like they did live in Bavel, and therefore.
And you're looking at Lashon B'nai
Ava. But the Rush is saying that the clear Lashon Targum. Yeah, he's taking on this idea that why are you using that word of uncleus? It seems like you could retranslate it back for what does it go back to? Reverse engineer back to the pasuk, and it means tvua, which is 5 grains. Vilama nishtane haloshin. So, or the Aleph takes us to the Bach on the right side. Bach, Lama Nishana Haloshin. Why should we change the words Mishem Ho'etem Pe'ula from what the, I guess, the actual word means? We should stick to the basic words translation. Are you going to veer off the literal translation of your Webster's uncleus to take you and say, well, maybe it means everything, and maybe Rava could collect from the Yarshim and pull out of the Yarshim everything from all types of other things.
Get clarity for a second. When he did the Tzava, the will, what was the language of the whole will?
He said Alalta.
Was it in Aramaic or was it in Hebrew?
Sounds like Aramaic because he even gave the amount of money in Aramaic, right?
He said Tlesar.
Tlesar.
Tlesar Alfe Zuzi.
So, he would have said that in Hebrew.
So then does Alalta fit in with the rest of the text?
Yeah, it does fit.
In terms of the language used?
Yeah,
it's all in Aramaic.
So then, and Alalta in Aramaic means what?
Well, according to Uncle Tua,
it means only the 5 grains.
Great Douglas.
Great
Douglas. Yeah, you get you the translation of the word tavua.
So he's saying now that when it comes to a monetary issue, why would we be expansive and take it out of its normal usage? That's why I wanted to make sure it was all in Aramaic. Why would we say that? Why would we take it out of the rest of the context? The rest of the context is just, it's all in Aramaic. Just keep it the same as everything else. And in Aramaic, alalta means 5 grains.
Right.
So why when it comes to a suffix of Hamatzim Yechaber El Barai, kind of a suffix, of course we stay limited. I think that's what he
says. And he says it's like Reb Yosef gave a psak in Hebrew, tavu. It's like Marbar Shmuel gave over a will to give over tavu. It's like he said the word tavu. If you have a translator.
So that's the case. And why does Abai have or Rabbi have a shaila then?
Rava had a question. Rava didn't want to stay exactly so faithful to just be a Google translator that just means whatever Tua means in Aramaic as a translation. Rava wasn't sure. Maybe it could be all expansive.
Because maybe when Unklus translated to as Alalta, maybe Unklus had a more expansive understanding, and he's including more than just Tur.
Oh, excellent. So we're going to have to, maybe, yeah, the question is, and this is your Mechavan to the Carbon Asano, he's Mechavan to the Carbon Asano, that maybe Unklus, when he used the words Alalta, is not giving...
It's the closest match, but it's not a direct synonym.
It's a close match, and also could be a description. Sometimes Unklus doesn't give you direct translations. He tells me on when you say wash, verachatz is to wash. Vekibes, the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol launders his clothes, or a tummy person, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, they have to do dipping in the mikvah. So Unklus uses a different term when he speaks about washing your body or dipping in the mikvah or cleaning your clothes. So Unklus uses a little bit of freedom. He doesn't go directly literal. He changes up when Hashem talks. The way Unklus translates that, you know, B'derech Kavod, he'll change it around. So the word maybe could be all inclusive. Maybe Alalta is not a direct translation.
Unklus is like giving a psak as well. By giving a more expansive definition, he's saying that really...
A definition, not a psak, but
a definition that will may affect a psak.
Giving a translation based on maybe... It's not literal. Maybe he's giving you a pshat.
But pushing against this narrower understanding of Alalta is, it's an unusual word. What motivated Mar Bar Shmuel to throw in that word? If it's an unusual way of expressing it.
It's not unusual. Yeah. That's how they spoke
And
then.
He's trying to...
So it's not so clear. This
and he's
is
trying
the
to
question.
Strengthen Rava's hold on the Yerusha.
Was strengthened to say...
If Mar Bar Shmuel was motivated to throw in that word...
He threw in the word.
Strengthen... The eventual make sure that Rava gets his portion.
No, so what the
if
strengthening?
That's why he,
no,
that's why he throws
it's
in
not strengthening
Alalta, because it's more expansive.
Oh,
no, we're arguing. Well, we're arguing that.
Other word could he have used? If he's speaking Aramaic, what other word could he have used that would have been closer to just Chameshis Minim of Tevua? If there's no other word, then we're in a quandary.
This is the question. If that word was unique, this is a Shaila, and if he meant it exactly.
I'm saying about strengthening.
We spoke before why he said, we're going to see, we did say that. Why did he say that it should be, right, there's two ways how we could say it. We said that you could say let's say wine, you could say Chamra, wine. But if you would say wine, then if some wine would get lost, the Yarshim could tell him your wine got lost. Mm-hmm. If you sell the proceeds of selling the wine, that also is not good, because if they proceed and they sell it and they get proceeds and they lose the proceeds, then they could tell Rava, we lost your proceeds. But therefore, he was careful to say it in a way where he didn't say Chamra, he didn't say Deme Chamra. He said, Mi Chamra. From wine. Now, if you lose, he tells the kids, if you lose the wine, it's your problem. If you lose the proceeds, your problem. So he was strengthening. We did see the Ritva that in the way it was articulated, the Tava, he was strengthening.
Right.
That's true. So you want to say based on that.
I say that that's more that's pushing back on this other shot of the rush. That Alalta, he specifically chose an unusual term to strengthen his position.
That's
the language he's using. He didn't choose an unusual term. He's speaking in his language. We just don't.
So this is the question. The question is: is this the point?
You're thinking like the Rush. And I'm thinking like I'm saying yes.
You're speaking Aramaic.
This is the Shiloh. We have to know: was it an unusual way of speaking? Was he just speaking Aramaic? And there's nothing unusual about it, and it's actually a definition, or did he hop on to that? It's not 100% clear. We're gonna have to do more research.
Even if you use a term that's more expansive, how expansive did you want to be? You want to include boat rental
we're not even gonna get to that.
I know.
So Rav Yosef should be giving him Musser too. That when you're in a deathbed, you should be clear with your words.
Okay, but that's not a Taina. Daddy could do whatever he wants with his money. Okay, but the rush, what we're seeing here is the rush held It sounds like it's that the words that are rushed.
When it comes to Motzi Mechaver Alvaro, when it comes to Sapik Mammon, Mammonus, you have to take the narrower understanding.
Right.
Yeah, so it sounds like Dov is saying he hopped onto such a Lushan in Aramaic. It sounds like, well, take that Lushan and Google translate it back into the Chumash. It should be only Tvua. So therefore, it sounds like we're a little bit subservient to keep to that. And therefore, how could we change from that word of five grains to
two? Based on the suffix.
Yeah. Based on the suffix. Keeping the simple. No, he's saying a little, but we have to think it's not simply put like the Ran. He's saying if we have to be faithful to the meaning of the words, and how can we change from that to pull money out?
But no, but he's talking about money. Yeah, to pull money out.
Pull money out. Now,
but Rav Yosef is treating it like it's unambiguous. He's just like, he's saying, no, I know what it means. I just don't know if it means.
Rav argued on him. Yeah, absolutely. Rav argued on him. Now, this is the rush. Now, the tour, we know, is the son of the rush. So the tour also paskin this. So let me read you these words here. Yeah, we don't have it. I didn't copy it, but I'll read it out loud. Hanoider made tvua. Someone makes a neder for tvua. Oishoimer alauta, or he says, I make a neder on alauta. What is he usher on? Eine usher el b'chameshas haminim.
So we're restricted. Even we're not even being machmer for the safek.
On a neder,
on a neder,
right?
The Tor paskins the son of the rush.
Being restricted.
Wow. He says you make a neder, you're usher. Only on the five grains. So all the Paiskim jump the base Yosef here and the Lechem Mishnah, they all jump and they say.
Which would imply that he could only collect from the five grains, absolutely. In which case, what Rabbi Yosef, his shtika to buy,
was not a.
That throws out.
That throws that.
Go down the.
Yet you see here that he wasn't so his quietness, right? You brought up from the Re'eim.
It's not an agreement.
That's not
an
agreement. Thank you guys for my habit to the tour.
You see clearly that he's giving a very strong. Rabbi Yosef held on his own sock that it was five grains,
and yet the messengers decided to give a biased opinion then instead of Rabbi Yosef's.
That's your opinion on that. That's the way Re'eim learned.
And maybe they mentioned what Abai said as well, and then Rabba's hopping on to Abai.
Oh, no, yeah, so the Re'eim, you're telling me the way the Shita Mikvet says in the Re'eim, he says that they brought back Rabbi Yosef's, with Yosef's agreeing to Abai, they brought back Abai. Right. That's the way the Re'eim learned.
It's the land and the art school.
Yeah, exactly. but the question... The question is, I don't know if the tour and the tour will have to, the tour may argue. Evidently, if right, the rush is saying that it's a very big question.
Seems like he argues so he made a strong sack there.
And Rava's response right.
What's the rush?
I already knew that Alalta, then it couldn't have been Rav Yosef's opinion they brought back to him.
Right, so what's
that? I already knew that.
Right, you see,
knew what?
What's that? You see that the rush is not learning like the Re'eim, right? The rush is not learning that Rav Yosef was Moida. That
right,
it
right,
means
okay.
Everything
yeah,
because
yeah,
the rush yeah. says it's not clear, and even the simple meaning of his words, Google Translate means this, and he's willing to go with that.
Even on
okay,
an editor,
so
even on and the tour.
Now
the tour takes the rush. He honors his father to the next level.
Right.
Not only is that for the rush only spoke about money,
right.
But the tour that even for neder, you make a neder on a lauta.
It's only going to be
it's right. only five
so
grades.
So it's like
he learned his father literally.
So, Rob, it was what you first explained was then how this works is that Rava disagreed with Rav Yosef's opinion because he
and
brought back the opinion that no, it's just the five grains. He said, no, I already know it's.
I don't know what he brought back.
Everything.
It's ambiguous what he brought back.
It's just
says,
hard to understand.
The Gemara says, the Gemara says very ambiguous what he brought back. The Gemara says, Adrua lekame de Rava. They brought back in front of Rava. It doesn't say what.
It doesn't say what, but doesn't Rava say I already knew that?
No. They brought back what the back and forth was. And on that, they told him what, and then...
But what was, like, I thought Rava's arrogance was he saying I already
or
knew
Rav
that.
I always thought they brought back Rav Yosef's opinion, and they mentioned what Abaye said.
Yeah.
And he latched on. Yeah, I already knew that. That was my question to Rav Yosef.
And he also heard Rabbi Yosef's opinion.
Yeah,
he for sure said Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef's the Rebbe. That's for sure.
It's interesting, though, that, you know, we really don't understand what the silence, Rabbi Yosef's silence means. That's really
the, so each, that's what the Rishonim are here to do.
Seems so,
the Re'eim,
why was he silent?
Rabbi Yosef and Rocky held, he was Moder, because you should speak up if someone...
Did Rav Yosef even hear what Abaya said?
Yeah. He was right there on the spot, right next to him. Uh-huh. He was there.
It wasn't like a whisper in the back.
No. The Gemara says it sounds like he was right there on the sideline and he spoke up. So that's how he learns. But the rush is not taking it that he was Moida. Because if he would be Moida, then right. He can't start telling me, well, there's the literal translation. If he was Moida, this whole thing. So the rush is clearly arguing Rabbi Yehovah's Rocky. So our school has to pick and choose how they're going to translate every time. Our school Chomesh also has to pick and choose how they translate every word, right? That's where the big problem when you get to the Megillah, when you get to the words Achashdronim B'nei Ramashim. Ramachim, you translate it as a mule, as a camel, as a half horse. You got to pick. So they always go with the simple pshat, one pshat, but there's always, you know, that's why learning, you know, you can't just read the English. You got to learn up the mefarshim because there's a lot going on and they're choosing sides.
Yeah.
But here we see. Okay. Yeah. Rez Hashem, we'll have to go more into why the big question we have to end with is how did the tour go so far? The rush sounded like he was saying a mummy.
We're going to be machmer is what the rush sounded like. Either way, we're going to be machmer. And the tour is like,
The rush seemed like he was in Suffolk. He was not sure. And when it's not mammon, you go, let's go find Alvarez.
Right.
And the Dharma, we go bigger.
That's what you would think.
But
the tour is taking it to a new level.
I think, just speculating here, but the tour is saying no when it comes to a tzava. We're not going to look at Lashon B'nei Adam because Lashon B'nei Adam is expansive. They use it as expansive, but rather we're going to go with the actual dictionary words of the.
Yeah. How could he apply that?
And therefore. Maybe he has the same approach by Nadarm.
Well, then
no, you'd be Machmir. You're going to be Machmir.
The whole idea of Nadarm is
you go up with Lashon B'nei Adam. Well, that's probably. That's why I haven't figured that out
yet. Yeah.
But then why he takes it to Nadarm, I don't get.
He's so, holding it's not a
something. Unless he's not a something.
He's holding it's not a something.
It's not a something.
He's saying
so,
it's for sure.
This is where sure, Alta is just, 5 grand. It's just the 5 grand. Yeah. He's saying it's for sure the 5 grand.
Yeah, we're going to look it up, Bez Hashem. He goes to, the Beis Yosef goes to everything we spoke about. Was he Moida? Was he quiet? This is Beis Yosef coming right
That's
up.
Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Bez Hashem. Okay.
Okay,
Dea.
You should come
burn the boats, too.
We need your input.
Burn the boats?